from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm your host, Clint.
And I'm your other host, Barry. Are we using host now? I guess we're all hosts. We're hosting.
We're hosting a podcast. We're all in this thing together.
What we won't be talking about this week is Frozen 2 trailers. So no 20-minute dissertation on the Frozen 2 trailer this week. So,
Stop.
I was like, fast forward. They're still talking about Frozen 2. Hold on. 15 minutes later, still talking about Frozen 2.
Did you really put it past Joe to talk about Frozen 2 for 20 minutes?
I'm shocked, I tell you. I was shocked when I listened to that.
I'm telling you. Last week we had Joe on because he went down and checked out Tigris for the Hard Hat Tour. And you had to be to work super early in the morning, so it was kind of perfect to have him on. And him being obsessed with Frozen, it was another reason to have him on to talk about the Frozen 2 trailer for 20 minutes. So
that's it. Let's stop talking about the Frozen 2 trailer and talk about this week.
Yeah, we have a lot to get into this week. Only a couple big, we got a couple things, but they're big things with a lot of meat on them. So, we'll start off kind of with what we've been up to this, well, for you, the last couple weeks since we missed you last week. Me, not a whole lot. Things are starting to pick up with the website and stuff. So I've been. When I'm not doing spending time with the family, I'm doing Thrill Geek stuff. I went and saw How to Train Your Dragon, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Hidden World again. Yeah.
Did your wife cry repeatedly?
Oh, she did. Yes. She was a sobbing mess, as I was expecting. And even I got a little misty-eyed again. It was actually worse for me the second time around because I could actually take it all in, whereas the first viewing when we went to the early showing there a couple weeks ago, I was so into it, and you know, your emotions don't have time to kick in. When we went and saw it yesterday, my emotions got the best of me, and the ending of that film just, you know, it got me. So yeah, we went and saw that again. So that happened. So yeah, what have you been up to, sir?
What have I been up to? I'm trying to think.
Broadway?
Yeah, Epcot Broadway. actually, just got back from the last night of Festival of the Arts. And the cool thing this year, the final night, they did a one-night-only concert featuring four of the Disney on Broadway stars. Ashley Brown, Kissy Simmons, Alton Fitzgerald White, Josh Strickland, of course. Ashley Brown was the original Mary Poppins, Josh Strickland was the original Tarzan, and Kissy Simmons was Nala in Lion King, and Alton Fitzgerald White, I think, is the person who's played Mufasa more than anybody else on Broadway. So, I mean, it was pretty cool to see all four on the stage, and it was packed. I mean, people were lined up for the 8 o'clock show before 6:30. So, and it was pretty busy tonight. So it was neat to in that this is the third year of the festival, and actually I think all 3 years so far we've always been at the last show. And if you want to see it, it's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thrillgeek, where we live stream the entire show. So
yeah, I watched a little bit of the stream when you were streaming it earlier. It looked like it was a pretty good show. So that's it for Festival of the Arts. Now we go into Diet Epcot mode.
Yeah, for a week and a half.
For a week and a half.
Get in your Frozen Ever After rides.
Yeah, as we were discussing before we started recording. Now's the time to go to Epcot this next week. Also happening yesterday, the Oscars took place. We'll talk about that right quick. Some of the Disney highlights and Marvel highlights.
Yeah, I mean, Disney and Fox combined last night at the Oscars won 11 Oscars, including the first Oscars ever for Marvel Studios. They won 3 for Black Panther.
And then the other one that was Disney was the Pixar short film.
Bao.
Yeah, about the little...
Well-deserved. I don't think I've seen a Pixar short that like made me cry as much as that one did.
Yeah, all the Pixar shorts are pretty emotional, but that one really hits you right in the heart. So that was it as far as, I mean, Disney, you know...
Yeah, it's definitely this with Disney and Fox winning 11, the merger coming up. That's, you know, Fox won obviously for Bohemian Rhapsody for Rami Malek and 3 other Oscars, and then Olivia Colman won for Fox Searchlight's The Favorite, and then there was a couple other live action short and documentary. So that's, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with when it comes to the Oscars from once they're a fully combined company.
And I saw this. Can we talk really quick about Into the Spider-Verse getting Best Animated Film? I actually saw this right before we started recording here on Facebook. Spider-Verse actually knocked Disney off the Best Animated Feature Film throne. Since 2008, it's been Disney, except for 2012. Disney was not nominated, but 2008 to 2011, and then 2013 to 2018 was all Disney. Ratatouille, Wall-E, Up, Toy Story 3, Brave, Frozen, Big Hero 6, Inside Out, Zootopia, Coco, and then this year was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So, well, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was well-deserved. I mean, if you listened on the podcast before, it was my favorite movie of 2018, and it's well-deserving. It was an interesting Oscars without a host, which actually I think was better because it moved a lot faster.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but, you know, I kind of got I got a lot of people on social media, Twitter, saying it actually flowed better without a host.
Yeah, no, it flowed better without a host, and I just thought it moved better. And the highlight for most people, including myself, for the night was Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper performing "Shallow" for the first time ever live on television at the Oscars. And it was really search it out on YouTube. It's a really amazing performance, especially the way they shot it, like they shot a lot of the scenes in the movie where it was shot from the stage,
yeah,
looking out into the audience, and it was pretty cool. And
some of the memes coming out of them two like locking eyes at the end of the song are pretty hilarious.
Those two have an amazing chemistry. And
how are they not a couple yet? I don't understand
he's,
that.
He's got a fiance. I mean, yeah. She just ended her relationship with her fiance, but
I mean, you would think the way these two act together,
they have an amazing chemistry, and I would hope they'll do another movie together at some point, because they seem to have become very good friends with each other, and when they are together, it's pretty amazing. So that's Oscars. You know, I mean, the winner was Green Book, which shocked a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people don't like that movie. I haven't seen it.
It was really a mixed
bag this year on the movies.
I usually never see the Best Picture, the movie that wins Best Picture. It's some obscure movie that I have no clue what it's about.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been that way since 2010 for some reason. I mean, some of the really popular movies used to win Best Picture. It's like Gladiator won Best Picture. Return of the King won Best Picture. But since 2010, they keep picking these more obscure movies. You know, I mean, if this was 10 years ago, A Star Is Born would have easily won Best Picture. But it's...
Yeah,
it's a different time when it comes. But hey, I mean, look at this. We had some amazing movies and unexpected movies nominated this year. One of them being Black Panther. You know, there was some really good movies, but there was no clear you know, front runner, and that's, I think, how why Green Book ended up being the best picture. But speaking of number ones, though, this past weekend, we talked a little bit about How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, but it opened this past weekend with $55 million coming in at number one. And actually, that was came in over projections.
What were they projecting for this?
I think they were projecting like around $45 million. So it did more than they thought it was going to do. And it's the best opening out of the three Dragon movies.
It deserves it. So good.
It's really good. It's like I said, like we've said countless times on this podcast before, it's DreamWorks' best franchise. All three movies have been very good.
I was talking a little bit earlier about, you know, the second time seeing it. And, you know, we did our pretty much spoiler free review on the last episode. So if you've seen it, you can go back and kind of listen to what we think about it. We still won't spoil it because the movie's only been out for a couple of days. But one thing that I may have briefly touched on it. But one thing that I noticed seeing it yesterday again was the art direction of this movie. It's a gorgeous movie. Just the scenes and the art direction they went with this movie, it is easily, visually, the best DreamWorks film they've ever done, animated.
No, I mean, the art direction in the Dragons movies has always been a step above all the other DreamWorks movies.
It has been, but this, the third one, there's just something about it, like certain scenes, which I won't mention because some of them are kind of spoilerish, just the art is just the art direction is just fantastic.
I really think DreamWorks is up their game, same way like when we saw The Grinch, I felt like Illumination had knock their animation up a notch.
Yeah,
they're still a little bit, but still below Pixar. Both seem to be, you know, moving in a better direction. This was the first DreamWorks movie released under since they're now owned by Universal now. So this is the first one distributed by Universal. So I mean, Universal, you know, it's, you basically, when it comes down to animation, for the most part, you know, it's Universal and Disney, you know, with sort of Sony Pictures leading up. You know, Spider-Verse has been the rare, you know, diamond in compared to the rest of the Sony Pictures animation stuff. So,
and speaking of Universal, if a $55 million opening weekend doesn't solidify my theme park edition for How to Train Your Dragon, I don't know what will.
I hope so. I mean, they have the DreamWorks stuff now. They need to do something with it outside of the Shrek 3D thing, because it's not the best representation of DreamWorks.
Yeah. I'm certain we're gonna see something. You know, nothing's been announced. Nothing's been confirmed. But it's a no-brainer for. I mean, it's.
Heck, at the bare minimum, I mean, the daytime parade at Universal needs an update.
Yeah,
come on, let's get in it. Could you imagine an amazing like Burke Dragon section of the daytime parade? You know, if you want to.
Wait, you know, that's the other thing is I was watching the Hidden World yesterday, and there's so much that they could do with this film, if not the other two, in a theme park. Expansion attraction. You see it in the trailers. This isn't really a spoiler, but you know, the hidden world where it's all glowy and stuff, it's like Pandora.
Well, I mean, the lost, you know, there's been an on and off rumor for what, like 2 years now that Lost Continent was going to be, you know, converted to Burke. It's bouncing back and forth between Burke and Legend of Zelda. You know, it's the one section, you know, that, you know, we expect after the unannounced Jurassic park coaster may get maybe the next thing on the block to get a redo in Islands. So
yeah,
we'll see, or maybe it'll be in the room in the third park coming in the next 5 years. So
fourth park, Volcano Bay.
Sorry, yes, I don't want to upset our friends at Universal. Yes, the fourth theme park.
But yeah, I'm patiently waiting for my How to Train Your Dragon ride. As we sit here and wait.
But speaking of Universal rides,
yeah, and their biggest IP right now, we got more details on the Harry Potter roller coaster that's been under construction for. Oh, gosh, how long now?
Year and a half.
Now. Year and a half, has it been? Right? Yeah.
At least a year and a half.
Yeah. And you wanna take a stab at the name?
Yes, let me clear my throat. Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure.
It's coming. We got a name and we got an opening date. I was kind of shocked they announced an opening date. I didn't think we were quite there yet for an opening date.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, after we got the announcement, we got someone posted online that they were testing that night, like maybe for one of the first times of actually running the trains. We've seen trains being pushed through and pulled through different sections. But you know, from what we heard, they actually cycled some trains. You know, and they picked the date of June 13th, which actually does have some significance in Harry Potter lore.
I saw that and I can't remember. Somebody posted it on Twitter. What is it? I can't remember.
I shouldn't have brought it up without.
The Chamber of Secrets. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's
something about the Chamber of Secrets opening or something.
Yeah, it's something that Hagrid does. Something that Hagrid does on June 13th is
it's something to do with the Chamber of Secrets. That's about all I remember, but anyways. But yeah, we got more details. We got a not really new details.
Oh, it's the day June 13th is the day Myrtle dies.
Yeah, I don't think that was it.
And Tom Riddle frames Rubius Hagrid for Myrtle's murder.
I saw something
also,
about
that. So Aragog is released into the Forbidden Forest. But yeah, there's something else that goes on June 13th.
It was something.
It's the day that Tom Riddle opens the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah,
and Myrtle is killed by the basilisk, and Rubius Hagrid is framed for the attacks by Riddle and is expelled.
I just remember it being something about the Chamber of Secrets. But we got this was
Basically Hagrid. I mean, his name, his first name is Rubius. Yeah, that's the day he's framed for the attack and is expelled.
Universal said, quote, "For the first time ever, guests will fly with Hagrid on a thrilling roller coaster ride that plunges into the path of some of the Wizarding World's rarest magical creatures." So it sounds pretty cool. I'm super excited about this coaster. I mean, all the aerial construction pictures we've seen from Bio Reconstruct on Twitter. This coaster looks really cool. Now they got the water in over the, there's going to be a part where you're going to go over water. You know, there's going to be so many cool parts of this coaster. I'm super, super excited about it. It seems it'll be a fair replacement for, Dueling Dragons, Challenge.
And this will be the first major, Harry Potter attraction that doesn't involve the big three. From what we've heard, they will not be a part of this at all.
I can kind of see that because, you know, they've moved on. So
And the other thing we've heard is this will be mostly almost nothing but animatronics.
Yeah, which is great because, you know, you've got a lot of people kind of over Universal and their screen usage, Fast and the Furious, Kong, you know, just to name a few, Jimmy Fallon. So it's good to see that this is a change for Universal with their attractions getting into more, what's the word I'm looking for? Real.
Yeah, more real things. And I mean, like I said, it looks like we're getting this, you know, and then we're apparently going to get another coaster, allegedly.
And the scale of this coaster is huge. I mean, it's going to have indoor parts, outdoor parts, backwards parts, allegedly. So, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that's going to be going on with this thing. So we'll find out June 13th when it opens. Yes. So, and then the same day, literally seconds apart.
Gosh, don't you love it when they play the little obviously someone found out that someone at Disney found out Universal was going to drop that day, because it's literally they posted these announcements within a minute of each other.
I don't even think it was that. I think it was seconds. Because yeah. I was typing the tweet on for the Thrill Geek for the Hagrid's coaster tweet that it was announced, and I get a notification from the Disney Parks blog that they have announced new Epcot details about the entrance and the new play pavilion, which we'll talk about now. But yeah, it was literally seconds apart. It might have been a minute, but it seemed like it was like instantaneous. Like Universal posted, and then seconds later. But yeah, we got new details from Disney about the entrance to Epcot, get it going under the knife, and getting a huge overhaul. They're removing the stones. What are the gravestones?
Leave a legacy.
Thank you. They're moving those outside of the park.
The pictures will be moved outside of the park
because that's the big stones. Yeah.
Yeah. That's part of the, like, whatever thing people sign. It was for like, I want to say 25 years. It's 25 or 30 that your picture would be displayed or something. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But yeah, those will be moved to another location.
I'd have to ask Cheryl, cause her and her mom did one.
And, they will basically bringing the entrance more back to its original, but based on this concept art, it looks like though in that center planter area, they're actually going to be putting trees and possibly a water feature, through there. And then obviously when you look at the concept art, the biggest thing is a new a fountain that will be an homage to the original Epcot fountain, bringing back the Epcot centerpiece that was originally there when the park opened.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing that you know, Disney fans and Epcot fans noticed, was the fountain kind of getting going back to its roots. Because right now it's just a simple fountain, nothing spectacular. So to see it going back to its somewhat to its original glory is pretty nice.
It looks, you know, based on the concept art, a lot more trees in there, a lot more greenery, some looks like water features. They have in the concept art topiaries, whether that's just, you know, would be during flower and garden time. But it seems to be using these outer areas for the topiaries instead of that center area, which has been used for topiaries for a while now, which to me is a smart idea, because if you move, those topiaries are always stuff people want to take pictures with.
Yeah, there's always a photo spot there.
And
yeah,
it usually clogs that center area. So to me, it would be smart to move these topiaries.
Spread things out.
Spread them out to the, because a lot of people don't use those outer parts of the Epcot entrance, don't really get used. So I think, you know, this is spread, is hopefully, looks to me, is going to spread some people out. And people like, you know, people like to have areas where they can take pick, you know, the Instagrammable stuff. And this seems going to give you a lot of different spots in the front entrance to take your picture. And sort of maybe spread it out and not clog up that center area. And the other interesting thing is the flags, because if you zoom in, they have the old style Epcot logo on there.
There was a lot of people asking about that, and I went to the the WDWnews.com, their official like media website, and I downloaded the super high resolution one, and I was like, oh yeah, that is the old Epcot logo. And there's like what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, there's about a dozen flags up.
Yeah, six
on each side of the old Epcot logo. So
I think it's a new style entrance that takes some stuff from the original Epcot entrance, but brings it more into a new version of it that looks very park like and a lot more greenery.
Yeah, I like it. I think it looks nice. There wasn't a whole lot of backlash from the super hardcore Disney fans about it, which was nice. Everybody seemed to be pleased with the concept artwork, so we'll see. I guess we'll see. I heard somewhere construction's actually going to start this spring on it.
Yeah, I mean they're already, you know, in the process of redoing the entrance, the security, how they're going to do security at the entrance. So I think that part of the project is first, and then they'll get into the redoing the entrance, which they want to have that done probably, I would hope, before like Ratatouille opens next year. So it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of construction going on at the front entrance of that park for a while now.
Which, you know, it's kind of like what Hollywood Studios is going through right now. So it'll be, I mean, bag check is a nightmare right now at Epcot.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're working on redoing the bag checks and the security checks for all the parks. And
if it improves it, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and they did mention in the announcement about the redevelopment between Spaceship Earth and the World Showcase Promenade, and they just said the details will be released later. Which brings us to our other announcement about a new pavilion to take over what was Wonders of Life. And right now, they're just calling it the Play Pavilion.
Yeah, this was an interesting announcement. I think this got more discussion than the Epcot entrance announcement. There were a lot of people discussing what this play pavilion is going to be in the world. I'm trying to find the article here. I had everything opened.
Well, it's going to be a new area, according to Disney. Will include first-of-the-kind experiences devoted to playful fun, inviting guests into innovative, interactive city, bursting with games, hands-on activities. And friends and family will interact with favorite Disney characters in an energetic metropolis unlike anything seen before in Epcot. Some of this definitely looks like this is where they'll be moving a lot of meet and greets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the rumor, you know, we've seen concept art before of what's happening between Spaceship Earth and World Showcase Promenade. And that is knocking down almost either all or some of the
Interventions
/ originally Communicore buildings.
Yeah.
Which currently house a lot of the meet and greets. Which would explain a lot. It would explain why, like, Electric Umbrella, which really is in need of an update.
Yeah.
Hasn't been updated. And you know, they just moved Ralph and Vanellope from the Interventions building over to Imagination.
Yeah.
So it's seems to me that this will be home to some meet and greets, but it will have a lot of interactive stuff. Some of it looks like straight out of some of the internet from Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, it reminded me of the scene in Wreck-It Ralph when they, you know, all the Marvel and Star Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you saw that first in the trailer, that's exactly what it reminded me of.
And it looks like, too, it's going to give smaller kids some more things to do in Epcot. Because smaller kids, there's sort of been a lack of things for them to do in Epcot.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, they've got some rides that they can ride. But for the most part, the really smaller kids, it's like they've got the Kid Cot stops. And well, there's definitely some shows that they enjoy, but there's not a lot for young kids. I'm not talking about like 10, 11, 12 year olds. I'm talking about young kids.
Yeah, you're talking 3, 4, 5, you know, 6 year olds. Which, you know, going back to what you just said about them, you know, possibly with this replacing possibly being a replacement for some of the character meet and greets, this could also be, if you think about it, Interventions has always had attractions, a lot of hands-on stuff,
yeah,
for the little kids. So if they go and they get rid of that, you know, it would only make sense for them to put that sort of stuff into this this play pavilion. You know, more hands-on stuff for the little kids.
And it basically looks in some ways like a Disney Children's Museum.
Yeah,
a lot with hands-on. You know, it looks like it's going to be a lot of hands-on stuff to keep people occupied. There's going to be meet and greets. There's going to be different sort of interactive type things, and it's this gives more capacity for the park. We've talked about Wonders of Life. You know, some people moaning over this going into Wonders of Life. Wonders of Life has been dead for 13 years now. So. We knew something was going in there because they wouldn't have replaced the entire roof.
Yeah, there was the Black Panther rumor for a while, which never, you know, got anywhere. But you know, I'm just glad to see the Wonders of Life Pavilion get a new permanent addition because
that side of the park is almost all thrill rides.
Yeah, I mean, you got Mission Space right there. You got Test Track right down the road.
You're going to have Guardians.
You're going to have the Guardians coaster right there.
Because really, the only other thing, the other side had stuff for younger kids to do. You had the Living Seas. You had Nemo. You have the Land ride. You have the Imagination ride. This really is in the perfect spot in between thrill rides and will definitely give something... more for little kids to do. Hey, I'm excited for it. Anything that's...
You know what I'm hoping they do? Inside what? Out Cranium Command.
That would be a neat idea.
That would be perfect.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, we do see Joy, sort of like an emoji of Joy in the concept art. So, and they've got plenty of room there with the stuff that housed Cranium Command, the area that housed Body Wars, there's more than just that dome there.
Yeah, there's plenty of room.
There's plenty of room in that place for all kinds of different stuff, and we should find out, I guess, by 20. Will it open next year? Will it open by? It definitely will open by the 50th anniversary, but you know, people have wanted stuff for Epcot. I know this announcement was a little bit more mixed with some people.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think this announcement out of the... Like I said, the Epcot entrance announcement actually got high praise from a lot of people. This is the one that kind of went all over the board.
But you know, it's something new in Epcot. It's something that adds more capacity to Epcot. You know, everything is not an e-ticket. You know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know... been one of the things with the modern day Epcot is you know, there needs to be a little bit more variety, and this fills a hole that this park has needed. You know, would I have liked to have seen something a little bit more along the lines of Mermaid Lagoon at Disney Sea with maybe a couple of well themed flat rides in there? To me, that was maybe the one thing that I think might have been a little bit cooler to give, you know, to get a couple of well-themed flat rides since you have this indoor space. But I mean, who knows, we don't, you know, this is just concept art and a few ideas. We don't know what the final execution is going to be.
Yeah, they didn't announce any details, so you know, who knows what could go in there, because like you said, there's a lot of room in there to do stuff with.
A lot of room in there to do stuff, so
yep. Moving on real quick, we're going to wrap up here at the end with we're going to talk Star Wars dessert parties and Star Wars guided tour. I went on the tour on Friday. Disney invited us out. Disney hosted us to come out and check out the Star Wars guided tour, which is basically everything Star Wars, that Hollywood Studios offers in
right now,
right now, as of this recording, in a kind of a VIP treatment bundled up package. So I'll talk about that really quick, and then you joined me later that evening for the Galactic Spectacular dessert party, which was a lot of fun. So
the Galactic Spectacular stuff my face and drink party.
Yeah, exactly.
we'll get to that, but that, it was so good.
Yeah, it was a good time. But first, I'll kind of do a brief synopsis. I have the full photo report up on ThrillGeek.com. We have all sorts of videos of this guided tour, but I'll do kind of a quick synopsis of what the tour consists of and kind of what I think about it. But I started there early. I got at the park at about 7:30, and then by about, I would say, about 8:30, you're in the park starting the tour, and your first stop after you meet your tour guides, and they give you a little earpiece so the tour guides don't have to yell at you the whole 4 or 5 hour tour, which I didn't know they did. Apparently they do this for all the guided tours and stuff. The little wireless earpieces that they give you, which at first I was like, this is kind of weird. But I put it on, and I turned it on. And it was actually quite useful because I think one of the coolest things I got out of this guided tour, and I think a lot of people do, are the little secrets that they tell you about the rides and the little insider information. I think that was one of the coolest things about the Star Wars guided tour. But you start off at Star Tours, and you get in there before everybody else, so you're the first people to ride Star Tours, The Adventure Continues. And they walk you through the queue, and they tell you little secrets about the queue line, like, look at this, look over here, and then you ride the ride. And you're, like I said, you're the first quote guest to ride the ride, which was, kind of cool, little bragging rights. And they tell you some secrets about the ride too itself, I don't want to sit here and talk about all the secrets because that kind of ruins the fun. But after that, you go over and you watch Star Wars Path of the Jedi, which is a short film that basically, if you don't know anything about Star Wars, this is kind of a good way to get caught up. It was closed while I did the tour because it's a seasonal attraction, but they do run it for the Star Wars guided tour. So you watch that, and like I said, it gets you caught up with kind of the Luke Skywalker story up until pretty much the last film, The Last Jedi, which they kind of tease a little bit. So you watch that, and then after that, you head over to Launch Bay, where pretty much, the majority of the Star Wars stuff is. And one of the cool things about the guided tour is you get front-of-the-line access to all the characters, which by the time we got over there, the waits for the characters were pretty decent. I mean, you're talking 30, 40 minutes for Chewbacca. I think Kylo Ren was about 30 minutes. Everything was about 30, 40 minutes when we got over there. So, if you wait for each one of those, that's what? You're talking probably close to an hour and a half. Yeah. So you get front of the line access. They bring you right to the front for Kylo Ren, Chewbacca, and BB-8. So you get to go through those. You get to meet all those guys really quick. And then after that, you kind of hang out in Star Wars Launch Bay. They kind of walk you around and they tell you about, they tell you stories about some of the props. The one that we got, our tour guide, she talked about Mace Windu and his lightsaber, why it was colored purple. Do you know why his lightsaber is purple?
No, I don't know why his lightsaber is colored.
Take the Star Wars guided tour, you'll learn. it's a long story short. His daughter, after he got into the Star Wars films, he wanted to be noticed. He didn't want a lightsaber that was the same color as everybody else's. This is the one little tidbit I'll give away. So he requested a purple lightsaber so his daughter could see him in the movie.
Ah.
So that's why he has a purple lightsaber, in a nutshell. So yeah, you know, it's little things like that that I really liked about the Star Wars guided tour. But then after you, and then after Launch Bay, you head outside and you head back towards the front of the park, and you get to watch the March of the First Order. And I completely forgot that this was part of the Star Wars guided tour, but this was probably the coolest part. The most interesting part of the Star Wars guided tour for me was, you know, all the little facts and stuff you learn, but the coolest part was you actually get to march in the March of the First Order behind Captain Phasma and her platoon of stormtroopers. They come marching out, and you're standing there. I can't think of the name of the main gift shop for Hollywood Studios. It's like their Emporium. But you're standing there right there by the gate where Phasma and her stormtroopers come out. They walk by you, and then your tour guides kind of block the way, and you get to march right behind them all the way down Hollywood Boulevard. And once you get up in front of the Chinese Theater, they have a preferred viewing area for the rest of the March of the First Order. You know, Captain Phasma does her little thing with her stormtroopers, and then she marches back. So I thought that was really, really cool that you actually get to participate, you know, in your own little basically your own little Star Wars parade. You know, you can kind of wave at people. I couldn't because I was filming the whole thing. But, you know, it would be so cool for little kids to be part of that, you know, waving at people. You know, you're basically, you're in your own little, Star Wars parade. And then after that, we ate lunch, and they have you eat lunch in Backlot Express, and they kind of have the back corner of the restaurant, fenced off for you, and your VIP, your Star Wars guided tour group. And they have your table all set, and you get a little Darth Vader cup, and they give you a little certificate with your name on it, and the name of your hosts, the date, and then your magical Star Wars moment, which mine was Darth Vader's apprentice. So apparently I'm Vader's apprentice. So yeah, and then you eat, which I forgot to mention, they take your order in the morning when you first get there, what you want for lunch. So when you get there for lunch, they start bringing out your food so you can eat right away. There's no ordering your food, waiting for it. They give you the menu for Backlot Express, and they say, you know, what do you want for lunch? And you tell them, and so when you get there, your lunch is good to go. And then you get a lightsaber churro for dessert, which, by the way, this was the most delicious churro I've ever had on Disney property. Just as far, you know, not flavor, because I know Tokyo and everybody else has like weird flavored churros, but just as like freshness, and it was the most delicious churro I've ever had as far as like the quality goes. But yeah, for dessert, you get a lightsaber churro, which is pretty awesome. They have red and blue. Unfortunately, me being on the dark side, I got the blue one, which was kind of weird. And then stormtroopers come and kind of hang out with you after you're done eating for a little bit. You can pose for pictures with them. So that was really cool. And which, you know, lunch is like I said, lunch is included with the Star Wars guided tour. They do feed you. So, that's pretty cool as well. And then once you're done eating, you head over and check out we checked out the Galaxy's Edge model in One Man's Dream, which is just a small section of it. Apparently, it's not the whole thing. I think Disneyland has some, if I'm not mistaken. So they take you over there, they show you that, and then last but not least, you head over and you watch Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away. And all of these shows, A Galaxy Far, Far Away, March of the First Order, you have preferred viewing area. You don't have to worry about getting a standing area for it. They have an area kind of taped off for you for that. So that was pretty cool. And then that was it as far as the daytime portion of the tour.
Yeah, and also if you have children on the tour with you, ages 4 to 12, you get to enroll them in the Jedi Training Trials of the Temple show.
Yeah, you get to... That's included. Yeah, once you get... once you watch a galaxy far, far away, they took us over in front of the Chinese theater, and they said, okay, if you want to participate in the, you know, the Trials of the Temple show, and if you have little kids, you know, we're going to go over and sign up for that now. So yes, the trial, excuse me, Trials of the Temple is part of the Star Wars guided tour. It's just kind of optional. If you do want to go over there and watch it, I think they mentioned you do. They do have a preferred viewing area for you for that as well.
And you also get reserved viewing for the Galactic Spectacular later that night.
Yep. So that's about it as far as the Star Wars guided tour. I think as far as, you know, I don't even think I've been on any of the VIP guided tours. So this one, but I've read up on a lot of them, so I know a lot of them are. But I think as far as value, I think this one's really worth the money if you're a hardcore Star Wars fan, or B, you're somebody that wants to kind of experience all the Star Wars stuff. Not necessarily you're interested in Star Wars, but you know, you want to go and you want to experience everything in a timely manner. Because like I said, we started in the morning about 8:30, and we were wrapped up by 1. So you know, in a matter of 4 hours, give or take, 4 or 4.5 hours, if you don't include lunch, we had done everything Star Wars in the park. Yeah. So you know, I think it was definitely worth it compared to some of the other VIP, you know, kind of backstage tours that Disney does. I really enjoyed it. I think it was a lot of fun. I liked it.
Yeah, and you got a special couple of, we won't give them away, but you do get a couple of little special souvenirs, and you know, and so what? The cost right now is what? Is that $99 including tax?
I believe so. Yes, it's $99. And then right now, as of this recording, there's a 15% discount for pass holders, DVC members, and Disney Visa card holders.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not much, but it helps. And then, of course, you need theme park admission. Theme park admission is not included with the Star Wars guided tour. So, yeah, that's basically it.
Seems like a pretty good deal, especially if you can get the discount too. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
especially you know, like you said, if your time is limited, here's a way for you to do all the Star Wars stuff and get quick access and get to do a few things that the normal get to do a couple things guests normally don't get to do. So.
Yeah, and you know they also feed you. So if you include food into that, you know, how much is a burger and fries and drink and a churro? You know,
yeah, I mean that's like, what is it, like $20-$25?
You're talking $20-$25 for, you know, a burger and fries, a drink, and you know a churro's what, $6-$7?
Yeah, and I mean get to do a few things that normal guests do. One of the big ones is you can actually get, you know, you got interactions with a stormtrooper, and you actually were able to stop and take your picture with them, which if you're inside the park, good luck with that.
Yeah, they don't normally stop for you if you're just kind of a day guest, you know, because sometimes the stormtroopers kind of walk outside, walk in front of launch bay, and sometimes they'll stop, but for the most part they normally don't stop and pose for pictures. But yeah, when we were eating lunch, they came into Backlot Express, and you know, they made sure they made their rounds and they got to everybody. You know, they were posing for pictures. Excuse me. So yeah, you know, it's a really cool opportunity to get a little closer interaction with the stormtroopers.
So you did that, and then I came later that evening and joined you for the Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular dessert party. And I was definitely impressed with that. The food was very good.
Yeah, I could tell. You came, you know, every time I looked at you, you had a new plate of food coming back to our table.
And this is a dessert party, but there were not just your typical sweet desserts. They had a lot of savory stuff. They had a whole cheese and charcuterie. I'm sure I said that word wrong. Section, but they,
that's okay. It had, I wouldn't know either. Had,
I mean... They had capicola, like, they had prosciutto, they had fresh mozzarella, they had it was some other cheese, but it was like dipped, it was fresh cheese dipped in like a roasted tomato.
Yeah, the tomato and basil thing, that was good. I tried
basil
that.
Thing. They had hummus, like a I think it's like a black bean yeah, black bean dip, and then the smoked sea salted flatbread was so, I mean, all that was one of my favorite parts. But God, the desserts! I mean, there wasn't a bad dessert. There was it was a level of good to really good desserts.
Yeah, they actually had several things as far as the actual desserts go. They had a dessert table with your cupcakes and your really artistic looking desserts that you're almost afraid to eat.
Yeah, raspberry mousse domes. They had the blue milk panna cotta. You had.
The Vader peanut butter chocolate cupcake was so good.
The peanut butter chocolate cupcake was so good. I know that sounds so basic.
Yeah.
Peanut butter, but it was the cupcake was so moist and that peanut butter frosting was
it was so good.
It was so good.
I want another one.
the warm bread pudding.
That was really good.
With the crazy toppings that you could put on.
Yeah, they bake it with I saw pretzels on top.
Yeah.
And I was so, like, I was dumbfounded. I'd never seen bread pudding with pretzel. Like, it was the pretzel sticks. And it was baked into the bread pudding. So I was like, okay, I have to try this. And it was, you know, it was a good mix of salty and sweet. It was surprisingly really good. They put a big old blob of vanilla ice cream on top. And, oh, my gosh, it was so good.
And the other really big specialty dessert they had was the freeze-fried chocolate hazelnut mousse, and that was really good. And that was a little, you had got a little show too with the make it, because they used the nitro.
Yeah, the nitrogen to freeze it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. When you were getting it done, I walked over there and. She makes it right there for you fresh, and then you can get some toppings on it. So yeah, they had that too. The bread pudding stand, they also had fresh chocolate chip cookies, which were also good. So yeah, I didn't have one thing that I didn't like. Everything was delicious.
And then there was, you had alcoholic drinks and non-alcoholic drinks.
Oh yeah, we had alcoholic drinks. Shout out to the bartender that night. Whew.
Yeah, I mean it was and there was three kinds of mixed drinks, and I am trying to look them up while Galactic Punch, which that was my favorite, because it's like a mix of two different kinds of rums, coconut and spiced rum with tropical juice. The Cosmic Citrus Twist, which was watermelon, lemonade, and citrus vodka. We did not try the Lightspeed Margarita, which is margarita with tequila, blood orange syrup, and sour mix and lime juice. So those were all very good.
Yeah, and they also had a select wine and beer, which these are all included with your dessert party. These aren't a separate charge. Alcohol is included with the dessert party. And then they also had, I can't remember the name of it, but they had like a non-alcoholic kind of punch for the kids to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. On top of water and soft
drinks. Yeah, they had water and soda and coffee. And
coffee.
And then this was the, you know, along, like I said, with the lunch during the Star Wars guided tour, the dessert party is the other area where the stormtroopers kind of walk around and pose for pictures and stuff.
Yeah, it takes place, they section off a part of Launch Bay for the dessert party. And yeah, you got some of the stormtroopers roaming around. If you want to, you have a scheduled time to go see Kylo Ren.
Yeah, that was a really cool touch too. On each table, they have like a lit centerpiece, and it has a time on it. And it says the commander requests you on the bridge or something like that. And on it is a time, and that's your preferred time to go up. And I guess you go up and you meet Kylo Ren. We never did it because we were too busy stuffing our faces. And I had met Kylo Ren earlier during the Star Wars guided tour. But yeah, that's really cool that they kind of give you a preferred time to go see Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I mean, you got that, and you got a good if you get their own time, which you get a good hour and 15 minutes to eat and drink, and like I said, interact with the stormtroopers, go see Kylo Ren, and then you line up to go to the viewing area, and they're perfectly fine with you if you want to pile up some more snacks and drinks to take with you.
they were like encouraging it. They were like, "Hey, you guys want to get another plate to take out with you? Do it now."
they encourage you to that, and they even offer you bottles of water on your way out too, if you want a bottle of water. And you also get a little souvenir too.
Yeah. And they get you outside in time for Disney Movie Magic. At least they did for us. I'm guessing they do that normally. So you also get to see the projection show before you watch a Galactic Spectacular.
And you watch it from the raised area in front of the Chinese theater, which is a pretty unique viewing area. You're about as close as you can get, which offers a very for the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular show, it gives you a very almost in the round experience, because you're that close to the Chinese theater that, you know, the fireworks and projections that are on the are literally on the side of you, so you're sort of like in surrounded 180 degrees by fireworks and projections.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool to be that close. I would almost prefer to be back a little bit further so you could see the fireworks better. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's a unique viewing experience that you get being up that close, because you're kind of enveloped in everything, the projections, the fireworks, the flames,
and you're also raised up over all the other people there, so you pretty much get a clear view. You don't have to worry about anybody really being in your way. There's more than enough room on that area for you to get a clear look and not have to worry about anybody getting in your way.
Yeah, so that was the dessert party. And again, Disney had hosted us for that as well. So, you know, thank you for Disney for inviting us out to check both of those out. And like I said, we have tons of details. I got the photo trip report up on the website of the guided tour, the Star Wars guided tour. And then on YouTube, I got a highlight video of the Star Wars guided tour. I have the full video of the March of the First Order. And then you posted the Galactic Spectacular, right?
Yeah, we posted our Galactic Spectacular because we felt like it's a very unique view. And you can check it out on YouTube of that view that we got from there. The price of the dessert party currently, as of right now, is $79. And as of right now, I believe there are no discounts. I know it's gone. It depends sometimes during what time of year it is. They've had discounts in the past for the dessert party. So just check Disney's website. But $79 for a dessert party that includes alcohol?
Yeah.
Not that bad. I mean, and with the savory stuff, you can almost really make more of a dinner out of that, because you're, in many cases, you're eating during dinner time, and it seemed like a lot of people, that was sort of almost their replacement for dinner.
Yeah, like you said, some of the cheese, you know, if it was just desserts, I would say no, but since they have that other table with the cheeses and the meats and the fruit and stuff, yeah, you could easily substitute this for dinner.
I forgot about the fruit too, that there's fruit.
Yeah, there was like cantaloupe and a couple other melons,
pineapple,
I think.
So you can definitely make a dinner out of that.
Yeah, definitely. I could totally see that. I think that was it as far as all the stuff I wanted to cover talking about that whole day. It was a lot of Star Wars, but it was really cool. I had a blast. You know, the guided tour was a lot of fun. I learned a lot of cool new details. And then the Galactic Spectacular dessert party was an absolute blast. I love the food. I love, you know, getting out there and being able to watch the show from the preferred area. So yeah, again, thank you to Disney for having us out for that. We greatly appreciated it.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. So all right, I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, the only other really news thing we talk more of like a Thrill Geek thing is on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ThrillGeek, we have started what we're calling Thrill Geek Live. This is something Clint and I have gone back, talked about here for probably the past few months of, you know, giving you guys sometimes a more immediate thing when news happens, and also you guys seem to like when we go around the parks and talk about stuff.
Yeah, for some weird reason, our live streams of us just walking around the park actually do pretty well. I think the Thrill Geek Live stuff is, you know, we're kind of experimenting with it now on YouTube, but I think we'll do some on Facebook too, you know, maybe kind of bounce back and forth. You know, if like we did the first one, Barry was kind of walking around Epcot talking about all the new entrance stuff, and then he walked over and kind of talked about the new play pavilion. So
yeah, I mean, albeit, you know, in the future we're going to try to have at least two of us there, but sometimes it may just be one. But it's an opportunity for us to be in the parks or at an attraction in wherever we're at and talk more, not just show you it, but talk about the latest news that's going on. And so that's sort of a more immediate way for us to talk about things that happen as they happen. And we're going to try to do at least one a week where we're from somewhere, you know, Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, Legoland, or who knows, when we're traveling somewhere, give you guys a look at stuff, and we'll talk about some of the latest news. So that's look for that on our YouTube channel and maybe occasionally on our Facebook.
Yeah, we got that coming. And I have a ton of stuff under my belt right now. I'm working on, you know, it's been quiet for quite some time, but things are starting to fire on all cylinders again. I got one thing that I'm pretty excited about that we're going to be launching here soon. And what else? Like I said, I got so much stuff going on right now with the website. My head's spinning.
Yeah, we will be very busy the next few months with a lot of things and a lot of coverage. Yeah, shoot. I mean, this, you know, this is the week, you know, Friday is March 1st, and like all myself, Clint, and our writer Emily will all be some three different places on the same day.
Yeah,
bringing you coverage from three different, totally different things. So there's going to be a few days coming up here where it's like multiple people will be doing multiple things on the same day. So
I know we still got to get out to SeaWorld and check out Seven Seas soon.
I know that's
one thing I want to do.
That's the one thing we literally have not had time to do.
We almost did SeaWorld yesterday, Sunday. But that kind of fell through, so we'll get there soon. I love Seven Seas Food Festival. It's just
I love eating all that food,
so. Yeah, so we'll definitely get out there. That's one thing. And then definitely some more Mardi Gras days at Universal.
We got coming up March 1st, we will be at the 60th anniversary, beginning of the 60th anniversary of Busch Gardens.
Yeah, we'll be there for that. There's just so much going on. Like I can't even begin to wrap my head around it. So
I know it's crazy, and we just got like what the announcement for the Legoland for the media event for that. And
yeah, we'll be down there at the end of March, towards the end of March for that.
On my birthday.
Yeah. So just all sorts of stuff. So I'm not going to sit here and bore you guys and talk about it. Just know there's a lot of stuff coming.
So we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. We've got a bunch of new videos, Star Wars videos, Disney Skyliner, all kinds of we just did a live stream tonight from Disney on Broadway. So all that on facebook.com/thrillgeek. Thank you so much for all the people who have liked and followed, especially in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Shoot, the last couple of days from the Disney Skyliner video. Good God. Yeah, I mean,
it's a lot of people. YouTube.com/thrillgeek. We've got a highlights of the Star Wars guided tour. We've got the our Star Wars Galactic Spectacular from the dessert party viewing area. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. We got a highlights from one of the Disney on Broadway concerts, and we got even more. We're going to have some more videos coming this week. Every week, new videos on YouTube.com/ThrillGeek. So please subscribe so you can see those new videos. We also have a Disney Skyliner, a longer Disney Skyliner testing video on the YouTube channel. ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. We've got articles. A lot more articles than we ever used to have. So every day, there's usually a new article up on the website from pop culture to theme park news. And, of course, you're listening to the Thrill Geek Podcast, available wherever podcasts are sold. I can breathe now. Can I breathe? Okay, I can breathe now.
You forgot the best video we've uploaded to YouTube, Macklemore singing Let It Go at Mardi Gras.
Oh, my God. That's how many videos we've been uploading on YouTube the past few days. I've still got other stuff I'm supposed to upload on YouTube. So
I uploaded I know we have one on there already, but I uploaded a new Slinky Dog Dash POV as well, which is a lot better than our previous one. So be sure to check that out also. Yeah. All right, I can breathe too. So cool. All right, guys. Thanks once again for listening, and we will see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.